Welcome back to Logical, where we untangle the legal knots so that you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Malova, a U.S. qualified lawyer based in Dubai. In each episode, we break down complex law into clear, practical insights that you can actually use. So today's topic, termination, resignation, and the big question, what does the law actually say about so-called wrongful termination in the UAE? This episode is for employees, business owners, and HR professionals trying to understand the limits and rights when it comes down to ending an employment relationship. So many clients come to us, and obviously often blindsided, when they're being let go. They often want to fight back. And we hear things like, I was terminated without warning. Surely that's illegal. Or they fired me just after I returned from my medical leave. Or they gave no reason, just said I was no longer needed. Or they pressured me to resign after months of bullying. To many, this feels deeply unjust. Understandably, they want to know what recourse they may have. But the reality in the UAE federal employment law may not be as simple as one would expect. Let's kind of set the stage in terms of the legal framework. So what we're talking about in simple terms, what often employees feel like is wrongful termination, or termination without cause. What we're trying to establish in today's discussion, so what's the legal framework that governs the wrongful termination? And perhaps, is there such thing under the UAE law as wrongful termination? And if so, what's the ultimate compensation that employers can expect for being wrongfully terminated? So in terms of the legal framework, a legal foundation in the UAE, so there's three different laws that apply. So for overall, it's the UAE federal law, which is otherwise called as a labor law or decree law number 33 of 2021. And that's the law that applies to, in simple terms, to all of the UAE except two specific areas. The two specific areas are the DIFC free zone and the ADGM free zone in Abu Dhabi. So DIFC is the Dubai International Financial Center, or DIFC, and in Abu Dhabi, it's Abu Dhabi Global Markets, or ADGM. So apart from these two little pockets, the rest of the companies and employees all over the UAE, be it free zones or mainland, they are all subject to the UAE federal law, which is the law number 33 of 2021, or labor law. So as per the labor law, it's kind of at a high level, the employment is deemed as, in certain jurisdictions, called employment at will. So it's very similar to how employment is defined or treated in jurisdictions like the U.S., for example. So what does that mean to have employment at will? Employment at will means that the company can terminate you at any point in time for any reason, because you cannot force them to hire you and to keep you against their will. That's why it's called at will. But similarly so, it's the same rights apply to the employees. So employees can resign and leave the company at any point in time for any reason without any explanation. Again, you cannot force them to work against their will. That's why in legal terms, this is called employment at will. The concept is how can you force parties to work with one another if they don't want to work with one another? So ultimately forcing them to work against their will. So the overarching premise of the UAE employment law is that it is employment at will. You cannot, the country does not want to force parties to work together against their will. So it's very similar to the US employment law. Because of employment at will, you cannot force the company to hire someone or to keep someone if you don't want to keep them. So, and as a result, that means there's no really, in simple terms, there's no really punishment for a company letting somebody go. So if the company offered a job to someone for, let's say, on the promise that they will keep them for at least 2 years, and then a year and a half into it, they decided, well, it's not the right fit for us or our needs have changed. And then they want to terminate. So generally speaking, there is no penalty because the overarching premise is employment at will. there's no penalty for a company to terminate the employee, even if it's, let's say, within this, you know, before the contractual period. And same thing with employees. So with employees, if they want to, they signed up, for example, promised the company will work for you for 2 years. And then a year and 3 months into it, they said, you know what, I want to go. I don't want to work anymore. So I'm resigning. Similarly, there's no penalty for the employee to be resigning, even if they're leaving before this so-called two-year contractual period that they had kind of promised the company that they will stay. So which means that ultimately either termination or resignation is not subject, neither of those actions are subject to punishment or subject to penalty or subject to fine. So that's basically what it means, is that when you have an employment at will, any party can go their separate ways at any point in time, and there's no penalty for them in canceling or separating or severing their relationship. So that's the overarching principle. However, there are still some statutory payments and obligations that must be met. So it's not like, okay, well, if I'm an employee, I want to leave, I just walk out and say, this hasta la vista, I don't want to work for you anymore. There's still certain obligations that employees have to the company, and similarly employers have to the employees. So those statutory obligations are still there, and they apply more or less in the same way to both parties. And as long as this list of statutory obligations is met, then the parties can go their separate ways. There's no additional penalty. So what is that list? The list is, so there is the, if it's, let's say, from the company's perspective, the company wants to terminate an employee, they have to give them a minimum of 1 month notice. So that's the 1 month notice, which is minimum statutory, whether it's mentioned in the contract or not, that's what the law provides as a minimum. Sometimes the employment contract may have a longer notice period, and depending on the circumstances, it may also be valid, the longer notice period. In other words, if it's in favor of the employee, for example, the company said, we'll give you 3 months notice, then if it's in favor of the employee, that particular notice period will be enforced, because it benefits the employee. So at the minimum, the company has to compensate or to provide the employee with a 1 month notice. And if it doesn't want for the employee to serve that 1 month notice, it has to compensate them for it. So there's two ways of paying off the notice. One way is that you're just letting them know ahead of time for 1 month, and so they continue to come to the office and continue to work. So they have a notice of at least 1 month that they will be letting go. So it's not like the company comes, says, you know, here's your little slip, walk out the door, which is, by the way, how it is in the U.S. And that's basically your relationship is finished. No, in the UAE, there's still this notice period requirement. And so the notice can be, you give the employee the notice and they continue to come to the office for a month. And then look for a job during this period of time. Or if, as a company, you may not want them to come back because, you know, perhaps you don't really have use for them anymore, because you don't think it would be good for the morale of the employees to have somebody keep coming back to the office knowing that they are not going to stay with the firm with the company for much longer. So it doesn't matter. The law does not require for you to allow for the employee to come back into the office and be present in the office. The law only requires to basically give them this notice period, either by way of actual notice and then paying them a salary, or by compensating them so they don't come to the office, they don't have to work, but you still compensate them for the notice period, right? So that's one entitlement. The other one is any kind of unpaid salary, bonuses, or commissions that they would have earned and have not received. Obviously, there's that obligation, the company has to pay that. And also any kind of accrued leave or holidays that they have not used up, they also have to get compensation for that. And the UAE has one more concept, which is called end of service gratuity, or EOS, end of service benefits and service gratuity. So that's basically, that's perhaps a form of UAE's protection for employees in the event of termination. So there's an additional amount of money that the company has to pay employees under certain circumstances. And that's at the end of their employment relationship. And so that this particular benefit kicks in after at least 1 year of service. So if you work for the company for 1 year, then you're entitled to this service, to this benefit. And the longer you work, the bigger is the benefit. And the benefit is calculated as 21 days of basic salary for every year of service for the first 5 years. And from the 6 year on, it's 30 days for every year of service. So let's say if you worked for a company for 10 years, for the first 5 years, you get 21 days of basic salary. And from year 6 to 10, you get 30 days additionally of basic salary. So all in all, you have there maybe what approximately 8 years or eight months of salary. And that's just rough calculation. And so that's basically the UAE government's way of, on the one hand, not penalizing companies or not forcing companies to continue to have employees, which they may not want to keep, and not penalizing them for letting them go for whatever reason, but at the same time, obligating them to provide some compensation and time to the employees to allow them to either transition to their new employment, to find new employment, to just maybe psychologically adjust, and more importantly, financially have a cushion that they have before they find their new job. And then the last benefit also is the repatriation ticket. So if the employee decides after this that they want to go back home, the company is also obligated to buy their ticket and the ticket home. So all in all, so that's basically the maximum package, if you will, that employees would receive from the company under the federal law. So again, the notice period or compensation, the any kind of unpaid salary, bonuses, commissions, accrued leave, end of service gratuity, and repatriation ticket. So these five elements. So that's basically the maximum amount that employees will receive in the UAE upon termination. So that's one. As I said earlier, it's because there is no penalty or punishment for parties going their separate ways, there's no other kicker or there's no other margin that you can add on to this first package because you're being terminated for whatever reason. And the idea is that whether it's wrongful termination or not, a justified termination, at the end, it doesn't matter for government's purposes and in the eye of the law, it doesn't matter. When the relationship comes to an end, it comes to an end. So that's basically how it looks at it. Again, very much similar to how things are in the U.S. employment law, is that when parties no longer get along, for whatever reason, they no longer get along, so you don't need to force them to employ or have somebody work for them or be on their payroll if they're not contributing in the way that you want them to contribute. So what all that means is that there is no extra compensation just because you were terminated abruptly or unfairly. So this is important to remember because we have so many clients that come to us obviously very upset after 15 years of service at international corporations, big companies where they perhaps served some senior roles, and all of a sudden they get served with a notice and they're understandably very upset. They're upset emotionally, upset psychologically. They're shaken up. How could this be? I've worked for this company. I've given them my life for 15 years. How could this be? I want to fight back. This is not right. I guess it's a valid point, and a lot of countries do, and a sort of legislation do take that into account in structuring their own laws and legislating that particular area of law is by kind of keeping this in mind and providing certain additional protections and protocols before companies are allowed to terminate them, stemming from that point of view. But in other countries, like in the U.S., for example, that's not, in the employment context, it's not considered to be sort of a valid argument because it's just a business relationship. That's how they look at it. It's a business relationship. Company hires you. You bring value to it. When you stop bringing value for whatever reason, it lets you go. That means that even if you're being terminated because you showed up one day and your hair is shorter than it was the day before and your boss says, I don't like your hair, I want to let you go, that, because the reason for termination does not matter. So it's even if you get terminated because your boss does not like your new hairdo, it's basically besides the point. So that's under the federal law, and this is important to remember. Now, that's not to say that if you get mistreated at the company and you get terminated or forced out because of, let's say, you know, being harassed or you're being bullied or you're discriminated or you feel like the working conditions are not safe. That's not to say that, you know, that's okay and that this is sanctioned by the law. Not at all. In fact, there is the employment law clearly states that there is these kind of behavior and tactics by companies are unlawful and they need to be reported. However, what's important to highlight is that you can report these, and these are regulatory matters. It's for the regulatory authorities to ultimately then inspect the companies and decide, you know, whether they and penalize ultimately the companies for, let's say, if they have discriminatory tactics or practices or bullying or harassment practices. So, but it's more for regulatory authorities to fine the companies. It's not for those authorities to give compensation to employees for being bullied or being discriminated. Right. So in other words, that's still unlawful for companies to treat employees that way. But in terms of the recourse, it does not come back into the employee's pocket by way of compensation, but rather can potentially come back to the company by way of punishment. Because the idea is that, well, companies should not be doing this. So the government would step in and ultimately penalize companies for this inappropriate behavior. So that's kind of how the UAE looks at it. Now, it is theoretically possible, for example, if the employee is truly bullied or harassed and they can justify and show that they've suffered actual damages because of it, it's theoretically possible to also bring a case against the company for those kinds of damages. But it's going to not necessarily be under the employment law, but it will be under other types of laws, basically this compensation for damages that you will be asking the company to compensate you for all the damages you suffered as a result of their illegal tactics. Obviously, in that case, you would have to show through these regulatory authorities who would have determined, for example, the companies, yes, that they've had discriminatory practices, we fine them. So that will be your proof to show to the courts that, look, I mean, they truly, the company broke the law by mistreating me this way, and therefore I suffered damages, and here is the proof of how I suffered, let's say, medical bills or inability to work for a number of months because of the medical state, and you'd have to kind of back it up by the medical report. So theoretically, that's possible to ask for additional compensation in such cases. But in practice, it's difficult to prove actual damage that you've suffered as a result of bullying that you can substantiate financially. In other words, that you have, you know, a psychiatrist, a psychologist report that says, yes, this person has not been able to work for 2 or 3 months because of the way they've been harassed. I mean, if there's that kind of a report and you can substantiate you not being able to earn a living for that many months because of these illegal practices. So it's that kind of report from the doctor's medical reports plus the conclusions from the regulatory authorities that will have determined that, yes, the company, in fact, did conduct some discriminatory or illegal practices. You know, there is theoretically you could potentially obtain compensation, but that's more compensation for the damages you have suffered, right? It's not under the employment law. It's not that it's in your entitlement. It's more about, you know, you've been harmed, and so here's additional compensation to make it right to you. So that's how things are now, and why we're talking about it still, even though the law is fairly clear, is because until recently, that wasn't the case. So the law, until 2021, there's an additional provision in the law that actually did mention this concept of arbitrary dismissal or wrongful termination, and that was under the old law. And so a lot of people still today think that that compensation is still available. So under the previous law, it was if you were wrongfully or if you were terminated without cause, wrongfully terminated, in addition to all these other benefits I listed out before, which notice period, the end of service, the unpaid salaries and repatriation taken and unpaid leave. In addition to all that, employees were also entitled to up to 3 months of salary, full salary, which was quite significant for many people. So in other words, and in most cases, it's companies would have to show that they terminated you under the previous law, that they terminated you for a cause. Because if there was no justification as to why they terminated you, there was almost this kind of implied, because there was a specific provision in the law that provided for this additional compensation up to 3 months. And in most cases, the courts were granting the full 3 months. So that's why, and it was, the law had, jurisprudence had developed in such a way that basically there's this presumption that the burden was on the company to disprove that they did not. So they actually terminated the employee for cause. So in most cases, companies almost didn't even want to go to court, and they just would terminate an employee, give them this additional 3 months just to avoid having to go to court, or because their reading of the law was such that, well, listen, we don't really actually have a good reason why we're firing them, so that's why let's right away apply this provision from the law and give them the 3 months additional notice. Also, because the law was different back then, there's actually penalties penalties that apply to both sides, both employees and employers, in the event they terminate their relationship earlier than, for example, contractually agreed. So that concept of penalties existed back then, and that's why this additional compensation existed, because separating or severing the relationship without cause was considered to be a breach of, you know, against the kind of a breach of the employment law, and therefore it demanded a penalty or compensation for employees in that case. But with the new law, there's a different approach to employment in as a whole. It's much more sort of freedom of choice based. So that's why there is no penalty and there is no additional compensation. But there is one caveat. So there is a caveat. There is still a concept of potential arbitrary dismissal or additional compensation to the employees that's similar to the old law's arbitrary dismissal compensation, also up to 3 months. And that's under Article 47 of the labor law. And so that's if the employee is being terminated in retaliation. So it's kind of retaliatory termination. So, and it's retaliation for the employee filing an official complaint against the company. So it's a very high burden. It's not about, oh, okay, well, the employee just complains about the company. No, the employee needs to have basically reported something about the company that they did illegal, for example, or wrong, to some one of the government entities. Let's say it would be MOHRE, or it would be a free zone, or it would be some other authority, depending on the nature of the business. And so in retaliation to that, the company terminated the employee. So it was basically, so there is that still additional compensation if the employee is terminated because in retaliation for reporting the company or the employer to one of the official authorities. So it's not just complaining or filing a case against the company in civil courts. No, it's about reporting the company for having done something wrong. So also sometimes if, let's say, an employee will file a case against the company for having done something wrong to them, and the court finds in their favor, let's say, the company had breached some part of the employment contract. In that case also, the court, under the same Article 47, may determine additional compensation, again, up to 3 months, basically as a punishment the company for having breached the law or some kind of part of the contract. But it's really only up to the court. The court will have to decide, and the burden is very high. And so the definition is very narrow. So that's in most cases. To be honest, we have not seen that compensation applied in current jurisprudence. And so I don't want to set anybody up for unrealistic expectations. All those employees who perhaps justifiably may feel hurt or upset that they were let go without any notice after so many years of service and so on and so forth, I want to help manage your expectations so you don't go through this rather cumbersome and emotionally taxing experience of trying to litigate your case and fight for your rights in the court that will ultimately give you the same thing that the company will give you, because there's nothing else in the law that you'd be entitled to. So that's under the federal law. Now, remember, there's two other laws that also have their own kind of employment framework, and that's the DFC employment law and the ADGM employment regulation. So the DFC employment law is law number 2 of 2019, and it's been amended. And there's a few sections there that talk about that, at a high level, they're very similar to the federal law. And by the way, those two laws historically had always taken this sanctity of contract approach, which means whatever was, there was no sort of penalty on companies for terminating employees if it was not a breach of contract. So it's whatever the employee has agreed to or the parties agreed to in the employment agreement. So the courts historically, the ADGM, the DIFC, that was their approach, is that they would just enforce the contract. So there wasn't kind of an additional additional penalty. And so similarly, the current, so the updated versions are more or less kind of track the same. Now, it's just the federal law, if you will, has kind of come up a little more at the same level as the ADGM and the DFC in with regards to how it treats employment and the employment contract. So under the DFC employment law, there's, for example, Section 62.1, an employer or employee may terminate a contract at any time with written notice. So very similar to the federal law. So again, you can terminate any time as long as you give them proper notice. And under Section 63, if the termination is without notice and without a valid reason, the employee may claim compensation equal to the notice period. So once again, so if the company terminates but does not give any notice and no reason why it's not giving the notice, then the maximum the employee is entitled in that particular case is the payment for the notice period. So it's, again, very similar to the UAE federal law. Why? Because the idea here is that the company may want to terminate without notice because they don't want, let's say, the employee has caused too much damage. So they actually have the right to terminate them even without paying the notice. And that right equally so exists under the federal law. But if they just terminate without notice and without reason substantiating why they're not paying them for the notice, in that case, the employee may demand compensation for the notice, so kind of maximum law. Now, and just like in the federal law, under Section 14 of the employment law, the DFC employment law, there's protection against discrimination, including like age discrimination, gender, race, and maternity status. So there's this similar concept of discrimination. And also there is a similar, interesting sort of a separate clause for whistleblowers, and that's under Section 55, it prohibits victimization, i.e. termination ultimately, for whistleblowing or asserting employment rights. So there are these kind of provisions in some ways very similar to the federal law, but at the same time, if employees can show that they have suffered as a result of the company's breach of the laws or breach of the agreement, then they can seek damages, much like I said under the local courts you could do. And in that case, there is the DFC laws have a little, kind of more specific damages laws that allow employees to be able to potentially, theoretically claim more damages with perhaps a lesser burden of proof than under the federal law. So, but more or less kind of similar and comes down to the evidence, the proof that the employees can assert to prove that they've actually suffered some specific damages as a result of the company's breach of the law or contract. And then in ADGM, very similar to the DIFC, there's all sections 54 and 58. So under the ADGM Section 54, basically companies can terminate with written notice but must provide a valid reason if challenged, right? So similar concept. And Section 58 provides that employee may bring a claim for unfair dismissal, particularly in the case of discrimination, retaliation, and lack of due process. And then, in this case, ADGM is a little different. So it basically says, fine, if... you cannot discriminate and you cannot harass. And so if you are being let go or you even resigning because you're being discriminated or you're being treated unfairly, there's more laws or more specific provision that employees can rely on to seek compensation for being mistreated. And also ADGM has a specific provision that kind of requires a reasonable disciplinary procedures before termination for cause. So in other words, again, you can terminate under ADGM the same way, but the compensation for unfair dismissal or arbitrary dismissal or wrongful dismissal, there it's there's perhaps more legal references employees can rely on, and as long as they can provide documentation that they have been discriminated and show how they might have suffered damages, so there's the case for damages could be more easily argued under these other legal systems. But, you know, an ADGM does have this process of, you know, required or obligatory disciplinary procedures before termination for cause. And in the event that's obviously not followed, then that entitles employee for a little more termination, perhaps, you know, benefits. So while termination is still allowed, unjustified dismissal can be challenged and sort of additional compensation may be awarded. But so the law kind of provides for the overall concept, but ultimately the burden will be kind of on the employee to show that they were unfairly dismissed and how they have suffered. So in summary, in the employment law in the UAE under either of these three jurisdictions is considered employment at will. Terminations and resignations are allowed at any time, so there's no punishment. It just becomes a matter of compensation. And, you know, in the DIST and the ADGM, termination is allowed as well, but must follow a specific process, you know, kind of due process, and certain remedies can be available for wrongful and fair dismissal, but much depends on the evidence, and the burden of proof is on employees. And then in misconduct like harassment, discrimination is reportable, but does not automatically give rise to employee claims under the federal law. And the only exception is basically retaliatory termination. That's in the event the company terminates you in retaliation for you reporting them to the authorities. So there's potential additional compensation. But otherwise, the maximum compensation that employees are entitled to is just, especially under the federal law, it's again, once again, it's the notice period, at least 1 month, and it's unpaid salaries, commissions, and bonuses. It's the unpaid holidays or leave. And it's end of service benefits, which is 21 days of basic salary for every year of service, and also ticket home. So that's basically kind of, if you will, maximum package. And as long as companies pay that to the employees, then the employees don't really have any additional claims for additional compensation for being unfairly dismissed, even, you know, irrespective of how emotional it may be for them to actually have been let go, especially after many years of service. And the ADGM and DIFC more or less have the similar structures, that they, except that employees there may be able to argue a little more damages for being unfairly dismissed if they can prove them. Okay, with that, we finish this section, this episode. And if you found this episode useful and you like what we do, you can always find more on our website at lylawyers.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.